So many times I've questioned certain circumstances and things I could not understand. And many times in trials, weakness blurs my vision. That's when my frustration gets so out of hand. But it's then I am reminded that I've never been forsaken, and I've never had to stand one test alone. When I look at all my victories and the Spirit rises up in me, it's through the fire my weakness is made strong. And he will take you through the fire again. I know within myself I would surely perish, but if I trust the hand of God, he shields the flames again, again. He never promised that the cross would not get heavy, and the hill would not be hard to climb. He never offered victories without fighting. He said help would always come in time. Just remember when you're standing in the valley of decision, and the adversary says, give in. Just and he will take you through the fire again. Just hold on. Our Lord will show up, and he will take you through the fire again.
Well, what a blessing, Lord Jesus Christ. He is our firefighter, amen. And what a blessing it is to know that we are not alone in this walk of life. And if Jesus is your Savior, he is there for the long haul. What a blessing that is. And I trust if you're going through the fire this morning that you will just allow the Lord 1 hour to speak to your heart, and I guarantee you, you'll leave here blessed. Amen. I want to welcome everyone to Calvary Baptist Church right here in Powder Springs. So good to see you on this rainy Sunday. And I was thinking last night when that storm was passing through, for some reason, we may not be in Kansas anymore, Toto. And so some of y'all get that in a minute. But we're in Kansas still. And so praise the Lord for that. And but do remember those that were affected by the storm last night, more south of Atlanta than north, but remember all of those people. So good to be here again. Want to welcome our visitors. If you're visiting with us, you are our special guests. Thank you so very much for joining with us this morning. We trust the Holy Spirit has made you feel warm and welcome, and we hope that you'll just come back and visit with us again soon. I do want to mention some things before we pray this morning. We had Miss Lucille Turner, her homegoing service on Friday, and I want to tell you what, there wasn't a seat left in that place. Those who went, it was an absolute blessing. Brother Brian, Brother Snyder spoke so well. Of course, Brother Snyder was emotional. It being his mother, you know, who wouldn't be? But he did a tremendous job, as well as Brian. And of course, things at the cemetery went well as well. But what a life. What a woman of faith. What a matriarch of the faith. And what a blessing. And I'm just honored and actually joyed that I was able to speak with her the day before she was unable to speak anymore. I was able to go and be with her. And I teased her a little bit. I said, "Miss Lucille?" She says, "Yes." I said, "What about some Jets pizza next week?" And she lit up like a Christmas tree. That's a Calvary Children's Home front office thing, if you don't know. And Miss Lucille and I know Miss Benita as well love some Jets pizza. But what a blessing it was. And just remember the family. I want to share a few things with you this morning, people to remember. Miss Dawn Daly, she has recovered from her UTI, but she is recovering from her fall. So remember her, Brother Jim, her son, as he gets ready to go have surgery on his foot on the 20th of March. Of course, Miss Claudia Darby, we have a special prayer request for her this morning. I spoke with her this week, and so we're praying for you, Miss Claudia, the church is as well. Just remember that. Miss Cassie, she's going for surgery soon. You know when that is? A couple weeks from now. Let's remember Miss Cassie. And just a lot going on. I do want to have a time of prayer together after the service for our young people. They're getting ready to go on the ski trip tomorrow through Friday, I believe. And skiing. Go ahead, Miss Darlene. Go ahead. Yes, ma'am.
And last year we had a cousin that went with us, and she got saved.
Amen.
She came over Friday night to do that present for the weekend. She brought me the sweetest note about how that changed her life last year. And it's just really been on my heart and on my focus that we're taking several kids that are not saved. So pray that.
Yes, ma'am. Amen. Yes, absolutely. And so we'll be having prayer right after the invitation this morning for them, staff and all. So remember that. Also remember Calvary Ladies Union at 3 o'clock today. You will be writing cards to the preachers and singers for our upcoming Jubilee, letting them know that you're praying for them. This is a great ministry. Many of them said that from last year that they have never received a card that you're being prayed for to come to a Jubilee or a revival. So we are so proud of that, continuing that here at Calvary. So remember that. Also remember choir practice at 4 today as we continue getting ready for Jubilee. And just a lot of great things going on and looking forward to that. Please pick up a bulletin to my right over here behind the organ or in the foyer there. You can read all the preachers and singers that will be with us. That's March the 2nd through the 6th. And so remember that. And, of course, we've got others on our prayer list that need prayer, going through a lot. Miss Diane Ely is still struggling tremendously with her back. Although she went back to work, she's still struggling with her back. Brother Randy at the funeral home the other day said that she has a crack in one of those places in her back. So that's not good to hear. She just had back surgery. So let's lift her up in prayer and Brother Randy and family. And you glad you're here this morning? Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, the Lord has a word to share with you this morning, and I'm confident of that. And also we just want to worship him in song. And there's messages, of course, in the songs that we sing. Father, we love you today. We thank you. We praise you. Thank you, God, for the visitors that we have. Thank you, Lord, that we have a church family here that is filled with love for one another and the community. Father, I pray this morning that you would speak through the songs. I pray that they would minister to the hearts that are here, but those that are watching on Facebook, listening on our webpage. And Father, when it comes preaching time, God, I pray you'd get me out of the way totally. Holy Spirit, speak to the hearts of the people that are here, God. And I pray that we all would be changed by the time that we leave. We love you today. We thank you. We praise you for all things. In Jesus' name we do pray with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen.
Amen. Church, choir, if you'll stand with me, turn over to page number 393. Page 393, let's everyone stand and sing together When We All Get to Heaven. Again, just a reminder, choir, 4 o'clock this afternoon or immediately following COU, whichever one of those comes first. But 4 o'clock, we'll be here and we'll be getting ready for Jubilee, and we're excited about that. And so please go ahead and, again, mark that on your calendars and make sure that you're inviting folks to come. We want to see a great turnout. More than anything else, please be praying that we'll be ready for Jubilee. Amen. We need the Lord to do something in our hearts and change our lives and just do something great for the cause of Christ. It's a very, very exciting time, and please make that a matter of prayer. Mark that on your calendars and invite folks to come. We'll start on that Sunday morning at 10:30, I believe. We have no Bible study on that morning. Yes, so Brother Snyder will be here to kick it off on that morning. We're very excited, and the choir will be singing. Second Coming will be here that whole day with us, and we are just excited about what the Lord is going to do. I want to share with you my heart for just a moment, if I can. Some of us have been here at Calvary for a long time, some longer than others, but I've become, I guess, somewhat a furniture piece around here. I've been here for a long time, about 30 years. That's hard to believe. It would hard to look at me and think that I'm even 30 years old, I know. That'd be true, because I'm well over that, as a matter of fact. Well, anyway, enough of that. But there is one thing that I remember about Jubilee. And I believe that there was a reason why things go back that I can remember so well. I remember times when the Holy Spirit would so fill this place. Brother Don, I've seen people get up out of their seat and run to the altar and get saved. I mean church members. Some that thought that they were called to preach come and got saved. Musicians get saved. Sunday school teachers get saved. Because God did something here at Calvary. I asked in our class this morning, I said, what are you hungry for? The Bible says those that hunger and thirst after righteousness, they shall be filled. I believe with all of my heart. A couple of weeks ago, the Lord spoke to my heart. And there's one thing that I remember about Jubilee in those times. We had cottage prayer meetings, and they were some of the best times. We'd all get together. I remember, Brother Harold, you come into the house One time we lived almost out in Alabama, and it was hard for everybody to get there. We live in Douglasville and still do. But I remember Brother Harold going back into one of the kids' bedrooms, and he pulled the toy chest down the hall. He said, "Somebody help me get this toy chest down the hall." There was nowhere else to sit in our home. And I remember Miss Darlene always saying, "These are the best times." But there's something else that I remember, and I believe it's what the Lord has spoken to me about. We would also have a time of prayer. 24 hours of prayer. Now that calls for some dedication and some sacrifice. But when we do something like that, and God knows that we're serious about Jubilee and revival, He shows up. Amen. And we had a calendar, and each person would just write in their name for 1 hour. 1 hour to come to the church. There was no talking. We're not asking you to come and have any kind of conversation. Just come and spend a little conversation with God. I wonder if the church would still be given to that this year. 2025. There you go. If you'll do it, I believe God will do something great in this revival, this Jubilee this year. Honestly believe it. He may just be calling me to more time in prayer. But I'll have the calendar ready for you next Sunday morning. It'll be down here to your left and my right. Just sign up. Now here's what we're asking. We don't want ladies to be here alone. So either team up with someone or you come as a family. Guys, don't send your wife up here and say, "Now listen, you need to go up here and pray." Bring your family with you and spend an hour in prayer. And let's see what God wants to do. You may be here and you may be a man that might be willing to say, "You know what, I'll come up there and I'll just hang out at the church for a few hours just so everybody feels safe. That way we don't have anyone here alone in the church." Again, you can get with me on that. I'm not asking you to, but that might be an idea. Pardon me? So you won't be alone. We want to keep it as safe as we can. We live in crazy times, and I get that. But I honestly believe that the Lord is asking us. You know, all those times back then in Jubilee, God hasn't changed. So what has changed? We have changed. But I wonder, what are you hungry for? Do you want to see God do something in this Jubilee? Would you be willing to give an hour and come and pray? I'm going to take it a step further than that. I believe there's something else that goes along with prayer. It's a bad word for us as Baptists because we like to eat. But maybe a time of prayer and fasting might be timely. You say, "Well, I have to take medication. I can't go without food." Is there something maybe you could go without for 24 hours? Maybe, won't you fast Facebook and see what God will do? Maybe turn away from the TV for 24 hours and see what God will do. You said, "Well, you stepped out this morning. I didn't do anything that I haven't already cleared with Pastor. I promise you that I wouldn't do that." But I believe with all of my heart, this is what God is calling and has laid on my heart. So I'll do my very best to head it up, answering questions for you. If you have any questions after church, I'll have you a list down front. Anything that seems confusion, please come to me, and I'll try my best, and we'll clear it up. We'll make sure that it's safe. We'll have the lights down. We'll have some music rolling in the background. You just come in and spend some time in prayer. I have seen where we would have people that would come and they'd go to each pew. And they'd ask that God would do something with every person that would sit on this pew. They went pew to pew, class to class, up in the choir, up in the pulpit area, out in the vestibule. As soon as people come in, "Lord, ever who crosses over this threshold during this time of Jubilee, would you please touch her heart?" I don't know about you, But I'm ready for a change.
Amen. Yes.
I'm ready for a change. I'm ready to see souls saved. See the church revived. Yes. See the Holy Spirit fill this place. And just see what He'll do in this community. Are you with me?
Amen.
All right. I have everything ready for you. I promise you by next Sunday morning. If you have any questions, please see me after church this morning. I'll try and clear everything up that I can. What are you hungry for? Father, we love you. We come before you this morning because we know that you want to do something in us and through us, in this church and through this church, for this community, for the cause of Christ. Lord, we want to see souls saved. We want to see the church revived. We want to see it not like the way it used to be, but even greater, Lord. We're looking for you to do something. We don't want to limit you. We're looking for you to do something in this place, in our hearts, in our church, in our homes, in our families. But Lord, if you can do anything, would you please start it in me? May that be each of our prayer. Lord, do something great here this morning. Lord, maybe this is just a spark of the fire that you want to build. Through the fire, our weakness is made strong. Blessing the service today, be with pastor, be with every song that's sung, every prayer that's prayed, every word that's said. We'll praise you and thank you for what's accomplished. In Jesus' name.
Understand why he wouldn't come as they made their way toward the other side. As they left the shore, they faced the storm, and suddenly they feared for their lives. But upon the sea there someone walked on the water as they listened for his cry. That's when they heard him call out their name, and tenderly he said, "It is I." He's the eye of the storm, the center of my calm, the place where I find shelter, the place where I find warmth, the center of my ways, the keeper of my ways. When I can't feel the sunshine and my ship is tossed and torn, he's the eye of the storm. didn't understand how the Prince of Peace could find them in the middle of their sea. But with a little faith and God's good grace, joy would overcome their disbelief. Now there are times in life when I face the storm, and I wonder if I ever will survive. That's when I hear Him call out my name, and tenderly He says, "It is I." He's the eye of the storm, the center of my calm, the place where I find shelter, the place where I find warmth, the center of my ways, the keeper of my days. When I can't feel sunshine and my ship is tossed and torn, He's the eye of the storm. Do not fear when He is near, take hold of His strong hand, listen closely to His words. He
this morning. I asked Shiloh to sing this song before I come around and preach. You know, this is a hard world we're living in, and there's a lot of bad. There's some spots of good if you look hard enough. But I'm glad that when it comes to Jesus and living for Him, there's a lot of good that can come out of a lot of bad things. And so I asked her to sing this song this morning. You listen to the words, called Honey from the Rock.
There's honey in the rock, water in the stone,
yeah.
Manna on the ground, no matter where I go. I don't need to worry now that I know everything I need you've got. There's honey in the rock. Praying for a miracle, thirsty for the living well. Only you can satisfy. The mercy seed, now I've tasted. It's not hard to see. Only you can satisfy. There's honey in the rock. 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 Spirit is water in the stone, manna on the ground, no matter where I go. I don't need to worry now that I know everything I need you've got. There's honey in the rock, purpose in your plan, power in the blood, healing in your hands. Started flowing when you said it is done. Everything you did's enough. I keep looking, I keep finding. You keep giving, keep providing. I have all that I need. You are all that I need. I keep praying, you keep moving. I keep praising, you keep proving. I have all that I need. You are all that I need. I keep looking, I keep finding. You keep giving, keep providing. I have all that I need. You are all that I need. I keep praying, you keep moving. I keep praising, you keep proving. I have all that I need. You are all that I need. I have all that I need. You are all that I need. There's honey in the rock, water in the stone, manna on the ground, no matter where I go. I don't need to worry now that I know everything I need you've got. There's honey in the rock, purpose in your plan, power in the blood, healing in your hands. Started flowing when you said it is done. Jesus, who you are is enough. There's honey in the rock. 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 Oh, how sweet it is to trust in you, Jesus. Oh, how sweet it is to trust in you, Jesus. Oh, how sweet it is. Trust in you, Jesus.
If you're here this morning, say amen. If you're not here this morning, say amen. Okay. What a blessing. Thank you, Miss Shiloh, Honey in the Rock. And we read about Samson, who found honey in the carcass, an old, dead, lifeless carcass, yet there was something sweet to be found even in it. I want to say that Jesus can allow that to happen in your life and mine. You may be here going through a terrible time, but I promise you, if you allow Jesus to be your guide, be your instructor, be your Savior, there'll be some sweet spots during this, your terrible time. All right. Again, it's good to be here this morning, and I hope you have received something so far by being here. 1 Samuel chapter 25 in your Bibles. 1 Samuel chapter number 25 for just a few moments, and we want to begin a message this morning. I highly doubt that we will finish it this morning. You know, sometimes I say that and I do finish it, and I notice that the times I don't say that, I don't finish it. So, whatever, you know what I'm saying? We'll certainly finish up tonight if we don't finish this morning. My prayer is, in the message this morning, that you and I, we would allow the Holy Spirit to apply this message however He seems fit to our individual hearts, because we're all here and we all have different needs. But the Holy Spirit can do a great and mighty work in one message. So that's my prayer this morning. This isn't only geared one way, the message that I'm about to give. It's not geared just for one particular way, but it's geared to whoever needs it. And so it's my prayer the Holy Spirit will use it. Let's pray, and then I want to read two verses out of 1 Samuel 25. That's verse number 2 and verse number 3. Father, we come in Jesus' name, the name that is above every name. Father, I pray in the next few moments you would hide me behind the cross. I'm not trying to sound churchy. I am being realistic. I need to get out of the way. God, I want you to show up. Lord, I want you to connect. There must be a connection made from heaven down to earth, even in this church building this morning. From the pulpit to the pew, there must be a heavenly connection made. Holy Ghost of God, I am totally reliant upon you. Use us now, and we'll praise you for it. In Jesus' name we do pray with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen and amen. 1 Samuel chapter number 25. Notice, if you would, verse number 2. And there was a man in Maon whose possessions were in Carmel. And the man was very great, and he had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats. And he was shearing his sheep in Carmel. Now, the name of the man was Nabal, and the name of his wife, Abigail. And she was a woman of good understanding and of a beautiful countenance. But the man was churlish. That word churlish means mean-spirited. And evil in his doings. And he was of the house of Caleb. We'll stop reading there. That's our verses this morning. Reading 1 Samuel 25, verse number 2 and 3. I want to call your attention this morning to verse number 3. Notice the name of Nabal's wife, Abigail, and the name of his wife, Abigail. I want to preach this morning on Nabal's wife, and that's just simply this, Abigail. Abigail. I want to share some things about this unsung hero. Three Sunday mornings ago, we preached a message entitled, "The Little Maid." The Little Maid. No doubt she was an unsung female hero of the Scriptures. We hear a lot about the great men of God, but there's a whole lot to be said and uncovered and displayed about the women of God in the Bible. I thank God for godly women this morning who draw a line in the sand and say, "I'm not going to do what other women and girls do. I'm going to save myself from marriage. I'm going to dress right. I'm going to act right. I'm going to follow Jesus." Thank God for godly girls and godly women. You know, one way that you get godly girls and godly women is by having godly parents. And so it all starts in the house. We this morning by no means are trying to beat anybody up. That's not our intention. You know our heart, it is not to do that, but thank God for godly women this morning. And so we want to talk about Abigail. The name Abigail, it simply means my father's joy. Does anybody in here know a girl named Abby or Abigail? That's what this name literally means. My father's joy. Or it means cause of joy. I want to say this morning, this woman was a wise woman. Notice, if you would, in verse number 3, halfway through the verse, the Bible says, and she was a woman of good understanding. She was a wise woman. She loved God, and she made decisions carefully. Not only does the Bible say that she was a wise woman, but according to the Word of God, she was a beautiful woman. The Bible says, and of a beautiful countenance. And so she was a wise woman. She was a beautiful woman, the Bible says. We do not know her age. We know the little maid that we preached on the other Sunday. She was probably a teenager. But this woman here, she's a little bit older, I'm assuming. She was probably somewhere between the age of 20 to 40, if I had to guess. But that's just my guess. I want to say that Abigail, at this particular time in her life, she found herself in a big dilemma, and yet she handled it so wisely. She handled it so wisely that it's recorded in the pages of God, and it is certainly worthy to be shared this morning. Now, I like to say, along in my introduction, that this message isn't just for women or girls. It's for men as well, girls and boys. Speaking of us men, let me just say, it would do us well to listen to godly women. God didn't give you your godly wife for you to ignore. God gave you your godly wife, your godly spouse, for you to glean from and listen to. I'm afraid we're living in a society, though, where men and their egos are built so high that we say, we're the leader, we're leading things, we're not listening to you. Well, contrary to Scripture, the Bible says that we ought to learn from our God. We ought to allow our godly wives to operate and give wisdom. And so, in fact, in one place the Bible says in the New Testament, it says that a husband can be won by the conduct of his godly wife. And the Bible also says round about there, it says, let a husband so love his wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. It goes on and it says, if husbands, you love your wife as Christ loved the church, you will see that your wife will follow you. This is not a marital message this morning, but I remember a guy came in the church not long ago, and I mean, I was standing right here, the message was over, and he came in like a beeline, and I thought one or two things were about to happen. He's about to shoot me dead. Of course, I got a lot of cowboys in here, amen. He's going to have a hard time doing that. We got some quick draws around here. But he was going to shoot me dead right there, or he needed to talk. And so he said, Pastor, can we talk a minute? I said, sure. We went over here, and he says, why doesn't my wife respect me? And I back up, and I'm like, Lord, you've got to help me on this one. There's no doubt about it. I don't know him. He just came walking up here out of nowhere. In fact, he said he was walking down the street. And you want to know what God gave me to share with him? I said, look, man, I don't know you. I don't know your situation. All I know is this. If we love our wives as Christ loved the church, she will respect you. I said, you ever think about that? He said, oh, thank you, Pastor. And he walked off. He got some homework. Listen to me this morning. This message is for all of us, not just women or men, but girls and boys, all of us, and it would do us men well to listen to the advice of a godly woman. Not be so proud and act like we don't need help. Listen, us men need help. That's why God gave us a wife. We need help. Amen? So I thank God this morning for my godly wife. She won't let me get away with anything. Praise the Lord for it. Not only did God put me in the position at the church to keep an eye on me, but He gave me a godly wife also to keep me in check. Praise the Lord. I can't receive any glory or any praise what happens in my life. It's all from God and my godly wife. I thank the Lord this morning for that. Let me just summarize what exactly is taking place here. We know that Samuel had died. There was lamenting over him by the Israelites, and understandably so. Then David arose and went down to the wilderness of Paran Most likely he did this as a safety measure running from Saul, which was still out for his blood. Next, as the story unfolds, David and his men, they find a pasture in Carmel containing 3,000 sheep, 1,000 goats. This land and animals belong to the man named Nabal. And so David and his men, out of the goodness of his heart, he protected the animals for a long period of time, the scriptures imply, and he protected the animals from predators and thieves. David could have went by and just started thieving away, but he didn't do that. That's not in the character of David. And so what David did was he protected him and his men. He protected those animals from predators and thieves. David and his men, they did that for some time, as I said a moment ago. But after a while, guess what? David wanted some compensation. In fact, the compensation that David wanted was just to feed his men. And so he sends a message by his men to Nabal asking for some compensation to feed his men. You know what Nabal says? No. He's not getting anything. And so David, he receives this word, and now David puts together a plan to attack and kill Nabal and his men. That's the backdrop, what's taking place. But then there's Abigail. Abigail gets the word and she tries to intercede to stop the attack from happening upon her husband, his men, and their home place. The story ends with Abigail, listen, telling Nabal what was going to happen. After she told him what was going to happen, he died of a heart attack. He absolutely dropped dead. I don't know if he died of a heart attack because he felt betrayed in a sense by his wife. Of course, that's not betrayal. That's his wife protecting him. Maybe he felt emasculated. I don't know. But however you want to dice it or slice it, he died. This morning, I want to share some things about Abigail's intervention. I want to share some things about her wisdom. But also, before we get to Abigail, there's something to be said about David's role in this and Nabal's role in this. Nabal and David both were rash and rather harsh in their actions and attitudes, and it almost caused a war. So this morning, some simple, practical observations about these three, and then later we'll highlight, probably tonight, actually Abigail. Unless we get to her this morning. So first of all, I want to mention some things. Let's just focus on Nabal for a minute. Nabal. Verse number 2, chapter 25, says that he was a wealthy man. In verse number 2, the Bible says again, and there was a man in Maon whose possessions were in Carmel, and the man was very great. And he had 3,000 sheep, and 1,000 goats, and he was shearing sheep in Carmel. And so he was a wealthy man. But not only was he a wealthy man, but he was a mean-spirited man. I mentioned that word a moment ago, but verse number 3 says, but the man was churlish and evil in his doings. And again, the word churlish means mean-spirited. Mean-spirited. And so we see that Nabal was unappreciative of David and what he did. Verse number 10 and 11 says so. Notice with me verse number 10. And Nabal answered David's servants and said, who is David? And who is the son of Jesse? There be many servants nowadays that break away every man from his master. Shall I then take my bread and my water and my flesh that I have killed for my shears and give it unto men whom I know not whence they be? We see that Nabal was unappreciative. He was selfish and greedy in his dealings with David. I mean, come on, we're talking about a little food that a rich person could easily give up for protecting his property. Not only Nabal was unappreciative, but we also see that Nabal's men spoke great of David and his men to his wife Abigail. Look at verse 14. But one of the young men told Abigail, Nabal's wife, saying, "Behold, David sent messengers out of the wilderness to salute our master, and he railed on them." Nabal railed. Verse 15, "But the men were very good unto us. We were not hurt, neither missed we anything. As long as we were conversant with them, we were when we were in the fields." Verse 16, "They were a wall unto us both by night and day, all the while we were with them keeping the sheep." So Nabal's men spoke great of David and his men to Abigail. So they couldn't speak to Nabal. They had to go to Abigail about this matter because they knew he wouldn't hear them. Look at verse 17. "Now therefore know and consider what thou wilt do, for evil is determined against our master and against all his household, for he is such a son of Belial that a man cannot speak to him." Stay with me this morning. Have you ever met someone that when you had a concern and you went to speak to them, they would just yell at you? And then over time, you're like, man, I just can't speak to them about anything because they yell at me, they bull over, they go off the deep end. That's the kind of man Nabal was. And so his men, they were used to that. So they said, "I'll tell you what, let's don't go to Nabal, let's go to Abigail. Let's go to Abigail about this." All right, my question is this morning. This is my punchline from my first point. Why in the world, how in the world could Abigail, why would Abigail get tied up with Nabal? Why, if Abigail is this woman who has understanding, who is wise, the Bible says she was beautiful, she was godly, why in the world would she get tied up with such an evil man? Can I tell you this morning that there are so many women getting tied up with the wrong kind of man? And on the contrary, there are so many good men, they're getting tied up with the wrong kind of women. For every Abigail, there is a Jezebel. But why in the world would Abigail get with this bad boy, Nabal? Let me tell you why I feel she got tied up with him. Can I tell you that I think that the reason all this happened, Or can I tell you the reason why Nabal is this way now, is that Nabal changed. Nabal changed. You see, I'm of the persuasion that the man Abigail met in the beginning, he changed over time and became a monster. That wasn't the same man that she met. I believe this morning the male ego took control of Nabal. His success, his wealth, his notoriety, and power changed his personality. Nabal got too big for his britches. And I want to say this. Once upon a time, he probably was a nice guy. You know, a lot of guys will be nice long enough to get you. Amen. And after they get you, and they know they got you, they will turn on you in a heartbeat. God help, God protect our young ladies who might meet the right men, godly men, men who walk with Jesus, men who talk to Him, men who were raised right and shows our girls the right way to be taken care of. Amen this morning. That's exactly what happened. Nabal wasn't the man that she met. Maybe before his success, he was kind. Maybe he was a hard worker, and maybe in the beginning he would have gave food to people such as David, but now there isn't enough for Nabal. He is egotistical. He is Gnostic even, and he is mean-spirited. In the beginning, maybe he was nice, but listen to this. Now he's a schmo. You know what a schmo is? Forgive me, young people. I don't like using strong language. Don't fall off your pew. It's not going to be that bad. He was a stupid man. He was a schmo. Now, if you go to your dictionary, there's schmoes, and then there's Joe schmoes. There's nothing wrong with being a Joe schmo. Because a Joe schmo, look it up, it's there in the dictionary. A Joe schmo is an ordinary man. There's nothing wrong with being an ordinary man. But there's something wrong with being a schmo, Brother Harold. A stupid man. A mean-spirited man. Listen, if you was a schmo in the beginning, I guarantee you your wife wouldn't have married you. So why are you being a schmo now? Don't be a schmo. Be a Joe schmo if you're going to be a schmo. And so we see Nabal, he was an evil man. He was a wealthy man. He was a changed man and not for the better. And he put his wife in a terrible situation. Men, love your precious wives while you got them. We just watched the homegoing service of a precious woman who served this church for years, and her husband served this church, Ben Turner, for years. I never met him, only knew her for a little while. And what a great godly woman she was. What a great godly woman. Men, love your wives, cherish your jewels. Be thankful that God has given someone to put up with you and me. Amen. Now, young men, single men, if you're godly, stay godly. Stay godly. If you're not, get godly. And if you want to stay godly, young men, and get godly, I advise you check who you're hanging out with. There's more troublemakers to be found in Christian schools than public schools. I can say that because I got a daughter that goes to a Christian school. There's not that, listen, there are some good Christian kids there, but I would say a large part of them are wolves there. They're like, nah, 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 nah. Your little lamb goes to that Christian school and that wolf is, nah, 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 nah. He gonna get you, brother. They got big wolves there too. Nah, 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 nah. Nah. Y'all know I'm fun. Y'all know I'm having a good time when I get to my comedian, Christian comedian part. Wolves in sheep's clothing. We've got troublemakers. Listen, I get good reports. I hear of wonderful things. Not in all public schools. And I'm definitely not for that as my first place to put our daughter for school. But I hear some things in public schools that are better in private schools. A lot of times, listen to me, a lot of times parents will have trouble raising their kids, and they think that a private school is where you back the car up and dump them out, and the school raises them. Not so, madam, not so, mister. That's not the purpose for a Christian school. It is not the purpose for a Christian school to raise the kids that you should be raising to begin with. A place where a child can go and get an education and the biblical aspect as well, a biblical education. Your child should be able to go and say, that's what mom and dad said. The man who preached chapel, mom and dad already said that. Listen, young men, if you're godly, stay godly. If you're not godly, get godly. Give your life to Jesus. He'll make you a vessel that He can use and He can be glorified by. Check the crowds that you hang with this morning. Not only young people, check the crowds. Older people, check your crowd you run with. You say, well, older people don't run. Oh, yeah, they do. Hey, older people, they love going to Waffle House. Huh? Come on. My bunch knows I love them with all my heart and soul and mind. But it's just a spot you can go to, drink some coffee, talk about church and what hurts and, you know, whatnot. They know I love them. But listen, I'm not my crowd, but I've been around some crowds and I've listened to some older people backbiting. I've heard some older people slandering people, talking about their pastor, talking about their deacons. Listen, so all of us this morning, every last one of us, we need to follow great godly examples is what I'm trying to say. Now, let's move on from Nabal and let's break ground with David for just a moment. Not only do we see Nabal in this story, but we see David in this story. I want to call your attention to David's response. When his servants came back and said, I'm sorry, boss. Nabal said no. Here's what happened. Look in verse 13. And David said unto his men, gird ye on every man his sword. And they girded on every man his sword. And David also girded on his sword. And there went up after David about 400 men and 200 abode by the stuff. I like that. 200 stayed, 200, and the rest went. David girded up. This is uncharacteristic of the man David. Think about it. David had plenty of opportunity to just stab and get revenge on Saul. I mean, listen, he had his foot, so to speak, on his neck. Said, I can kill you right now, but I'm not going to do it. But now we have David. Get up, boys. Get your swords. I got mine. We're going to go kill Nabal. How dare him deal with me that way? How dare him? This is uncharacteristic of the men of God. What's the difference between Saul and Nabal? I'll tell you the difference. At one time, David trusted God to take care of Saul. Now David is wanting to take care of the situation himself. Not only can we all, I'm sure, reflect back on situations that we've allowed God to take care of, but some of you got some stuff going on now. In the same way that you trusted God with it, is the same way you need to trust God with it now. I know your predicament is difficult. I know it's changed faces. It's not anything you've been used to. But the same God that helped then is the same God that helped now. And David refuses God's help. David got a belly full. And he says, I'm going to kill him. Anybody this morning got a belly full of the drama? Anybody this morning been digesting the sin of this world and how it has effect on families and lives and the drama at school if you got kids and the drama at the workplace if you work and drama, 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 problems, problems, problems. I felt like Habakkuk this week. Lord, where are you at? Where are you at, Lord? But you can rest this. Rest assured, God knows exactly what's going on in the world and in your life individually, and at the right time, He will come through. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. Child of God, be careful. Be cautious. God will give you energy to continue on and bear that burden. He will renew your strength as wings of eagles. You will walk and not faint. You feel like you're going to faint. You feel like you're going to give out. But the energy of the Holy Spirit, though the outward man perish, the inward man be renewed day by day. You will make it if you let God handle it. Let me say this. To everyone, how many times, I'm asking you, how many times have we given God, given things to God in the past and God took care of them? You know what I'm saying? He's reliable, isn't he? But what about this thing this morning? What about this? He wants this too. The other thing I want to say is, why did David struggle so bad with this? I got an answer, I think. He could have killed Saul. Saul tried to kill him. Nabal didn't try to kill David. What's the difference between David having mercy on Saul that was trying to kill him and Nabal not giving him compensation for watching over his animals? I'll tell you the difference. It's the difference. Because this time was personal. This was personal. David gave his time, his energy, and manpower to watch over Nabal's pasture out of the goodness of his heart, all for what? Just a little bit of food. You say, well, he shouldn't have done something without asking. We're talking about a rich man giving people tacos. That's it. And Nabal said, not going to happen, boy. Oh. Have you ever been hurt and it was so personal? Sometimes we get hurt the most. You ready for it? You already know it. By those who love us the most, we get hurt. And David, he says, that's it. I've had enough. No doubt David probably, I'm make an implication here. David, he probably had stored up anger from Saul and he dumped everything. This situation caused it to boil over and he was dumping everything on this person, Nabal. We need to be careful how we let things build up in our hearts and minds because it will boil over. Amen. It'll boil over and it'll burn everybody around the stove. You ain't got to just touch the stove to get burnt. All you got to do is be around it when that pot of water is boiling. If it boils over, it'll burn you. Ain't that right, Miss Amanda? Remember that last Sunday? We were feeding all of us. We were feeding the widows and widowers, and she grabbed that pot of potato soup. And I mean, that stuff just covered her arm. She's okay, though. Be careful. Be careful about storing up anger and hate. Listen, I know I've been hurt. And every time it feels like, Brother Allen, that I feel like I've mastered the art of being hurt, I've got it. I feel like I've grown in the Lord enough to just let it water off a duck's back. But then the devil strategically knows how to touch me in a spot I've never been touched before. You know what happens when he does it? I go, ow! And I spend a day or two trying to shake it. I'm bigger than this. I'm better than this. I've handled stuff like this, and it ain't going to bother me. But it boils. It boils. And it boils, and it boils. Listen, I'm glad God gives victory when things boil. But David here, my goodness, he took it personal. He gave everything he had. Food wasn't too much to ask. Sometimes we really get hurt and we act out of character. Listen to this. And we can act out of character because of something so personal that happened to us. You may not agree with me, but I want to say it. Which side do I want to walk out now? I'm trying to keep it even. Our prisons are full of good people that snapped. Some of you may disagree, and respectfully, I don't care. Because listen, some of these shows we watch, Christy and I, crime shows, the family says, oh, they didn't do it. They could never kill anybody. And every time me and her both say, of course you could. I say, what? They're just hoping they're not guilty of that crime. Anybody in this room under the right set of circumstances could snap. And you could be serving a lifelong sentence. Moses snapped. Man, he walked up on that Egyptian. He killed him, buried him in the sand. And he was a fugitive for 40 years. We can snap. And listen, David, he was getting ready to snap. He said, I had it. This is enough. I've served God, and Saul's still after me. Come on, men. We're going to kill Nabal. We're taking over. We're going to eat his sandwiches all the days of our life. That's what happened. And so we have David here. And I really hate to do this to you this morning, church. I really would. But I believe we're going to bring it to a close right here. We're going to bring it to a close. Tonight, I want to look at Abigail, because Abigail is the hero in this situation. Yes, some things happened to her husband after the fact, but she was an intercessor, man. She interceded. She showed some godly wisdom and character. She interceded for her husband, and she didn't have to. He was so bad to her, she didn't have to do that. She interceded for David. She didn't have to, but she did. Tonight I want to talk about Abigail. Again, we've looked at the whole story, tried to, Nabal and David. But then when I mention Abigail tonight, it will drive home and pull together the whole story. I hope you'll come and listen, or listen online, because we definitely want to mention her this evening. Father, we love you today. We thank you. We praise you for all things. Father, I pray if the message has spoke to someone's heart this morning, that they would feel a liberty at this moment while you're knocking on their heart's door just to come and do business with you. It may be related to the message. It may not be related to the message. There may just be someone here that wants to come in and say, Lord, I thank you for your blessings on me. Or, Lord, I do have a problem, but it's nothing to do with my family or friends. It's just something out there that's taking place. I'm not comfortable. Whatever the matter may be, the case is, Holy Spirit, let there be freedom. If there's one here that's lost, save them is my prayer as well. We'll be here to help with that, God. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. If you need to come, come on the first verse. No judgment here, only help at Calvary Baptist Church.
All to Jesus I surrender.
Anybody else this morning, please feel free to come. This is no judgment zone at this church. You got a big deal going on in your life? Guess what? You can make it through. You can make it through. God will see to it if you go after him. Don't be a Nabal. Don't even be a David at this time. Be an Abigail. She was an intercessor. She operated out of love, and she let God handle all the wrongdoings on both sides. Are you saved this morning? Do you know if you die today, heaven will be your home? You can know. Today is the day of salvation, the Bible says. Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's you, that's me. Romans 10:9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. The next verse, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Are you saved this morning? Still have some praying. Invitation's still open. Nobody else comes, and we'll close service. Have prayer for our young people. As we're playing softly while these are finishing up, Brother Ceylon, would you just give us an altar of prayer, just a prayer over these that are praying, and they're probably getting ready to finish up. Thank you so much. All of our young people going on the ski trip, parents, house parents, if you'd make your way down, would love to pray for you and have prayer with you. This will be our concluding prayer of the service. And I know we have a few folks not here this morning doing different things, and so let's remember them as well. And please, everybody, be safe on those slopes. I remember when Lily went, and Dion, I know you remember when Lily went that first time. Lily, you taught her how to ski, brother. And my goodness, I trusted you. I trust all of y'all, but I still had a little bit of daddy worry on the inside. Here's my daughter on the slopes in Virginia, West Virginia, wherever. But thank you for that time investment, parents. Appreciate that. She'll never forget that. And but we just want to pray for you. And ask God to give you a safe journey there while you're there, an amazing time together, having fun. Pray that those who need to get saved, God will speak to them. They will be saved. And if you're already saved, you'll be encouraged and strengthened. House parents as well, bless them. This is my prayer. The Lord bless them. Give them an amazing time. And that you'll just have a great winter getaway. All right? All right. Let me pray for you. Father, we love you today. We thank you. We praise you for our youth department, God. We thank you for our children's home. And, dear Lord, we're just so thankful for those in leadership there and the house parents and parents that have headed this up, Lord, to go on the annual ski trip. Thank you for providing the money through the tree lot. Oh, God, amazing ministry there. I just pray that you'll give them traveling mercies there. And then while they're there, Lord, when they're skiing and having a great time, let there be joy and happiness and safety. Just a great time away, a refreshing time. And then when they get in the Word, I pray the Holy Spirit would connect to every heart. Holy Spirit, you know who needs to be saved. You know who needs to be encouraged, Lord. Holy Spirit, you know even the adults, Lord, you know what they're going through. And Father, I just pray that you would have your hand upon everybody and bring them back safely. And we're looking forward to hearing some good news when they get back. We love you today, and we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you, young people, guys. Thank you. Have a great time. All right, you're dismissed. 5 o'clock service tonight. If you want to be here, hope you will. Hope you do. If not, you can catch us online. CLU at 3, choir practice at 4. God bless you.